Well, good morning. Thanks for joining us here today. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers here. Get the blessing to meet here in person and open up the Word of God, and what a blessing that is. Got a lot to get over today on this Father's Day morning. If you were hoping for Salvation Part 2, I'm sorry to disappoint, but I couldn't fit it into today's message with it being Father's Day. I tried and I just couldn't blend the two together. I didn't figure I did either one of them justice. So we'll have to revisit Salvation Part 2 probably sometime in July. So today, we're going to recognize and focus on our fathers. We need our fathers to step up. We really do. So just a little outline of today's message. We're going to lay down just a little history of Father's Day. I got an article according to the History Channel. Then we're going to lay out the state of our country because of the lack of fathers that are involved in their children's lives today. Then we're going to see what the Word of God says about fatherhood. A little bit of application. We're going to close with a testimony of a dear friend of mine. So that's kind of the layout of today's message. So we'll get right to it. So first, a little bit of history. Father's Day wasn't met with the same enthusiasm as Mother's Day was. In fact, it took a long time for Father's Day to get established. It was first started to be established in July 5th of 1908. There was a West Virginia church that sponsored the first ever explicitly to honor fathers, and that was a memorial because 362 men died in the Fairmont Coal Company mines explosion. So that following year, they had a memorial service. They called it Father's Day in memory of that. So that was the first localized. Then it got a little bigger. It went to a statewide, and that was in Washington State. Sonora Smart Dodd, one of six children raised by a widower, tried to promote the equivalent to Mother's Day, but for the parenting, the father parent. She went to local churches, the YMCA, shopkeepers, and local government trying to promote her idea of Father's Day. It was met with success, and the first statewide Father's Day was in June 19, 1910. It didn't really grow much steam after that. There was many presidents that tried to get it put into place, but it actually did not become a federal holiday until 1972, a long ways off from when Mother's Day was put into place. So today we honor Father and celebrate in the United States the third Sunday of June, which is today. So that's where how the roots of Father's Day got started. It was started for the right reasons. It really was. It was put into play. It was to honor fathers as their part in raising in the family and their contribution to the family. It was started in church, went to some Christian organizations, and eventually to the government. It was started for the right reasons, but it ended up coming to a holiday for the wrong reasons. Here's an idea. Father's Day produced $16 billion in spending in 2022. That's a long way short of Mother's Day producing $25 billion with a B in spending in 2022. So it started off for the right reasons to recognize our fathers and their role in the house, and it turned into an economic stimulant. That's what happened. That was the transition. And that's a worldwide spending statistic, but you can see the point. People spend a lot of money for Father's Day. I have no problem with that. I don't want to spend a lot of time on that today. My interest is more of the effects that fathers have in the household today. That's where I want to put my focus on today. So that's kind of the history. So secondly, the statistics of fathers in our country today. Well, the article is actually a fatherless society. In so many different ways, the society suffers with a lack of fathers in the household. That's the idea. So here, this is an EarthWeb website. Fatherless Home Statistics 2023 is the article. I've really condensed it. I'm using their information, but I've taken it down, and it's still going to be a lot, so you have to bear with me. But there's just a lot of vital statistics I think people just don't know. So I think it's important to get it out there. And we're going to use that to build our case, why fathers are needed, and then thus says the Lord why fathers are needed. So that's our direction. So we hope that you'll see how important it is for dads to be involved in their children's life. There's been an ongoing and growing issue in the United States as the following statistics will show of absentee fathers, which does have an impact how children see the world and make choices in their life. The COVID-19 crisis put a lot of stress on families and all over the world. Sadly, there were some instances of broken homes in the wake of the pandemic that will rear its ugly head today and at least a few years to come. The following fatherless home statistics will uncover how the absence of fathers impacts households. And some of these statistics are actually shocking. They were shocking to me as I was reading them. I'm not going to go every one in detail. I'm just going to kind of just run through them and kind of follow along. So there's a reported an estimate of 18.4 million children that live in fatherless homes today in America. That's a lot. And actually, there's more of an inflated number than that, because that 18.4 million is including grandpas, foster fathers, biological fathers, and adopted fathers. That's that taking that whole spectrum. So anybody that's a father figure in the home, 18.4 million children are without that in America today. Households without fathers are four times more likely to live below the poverty level. One quarter of the 121 million men in America have at least one biological child under 18 years of age. About 7 million biological dads are absentee dads to their minor children. That represents 20.2% of biological fathers aren't there for their kids today. 20% of dads are out of the picture. Divorce is a major cause of absent fathers. In 1960, there was an estimated 393,000 divorces, compared in 2008, 8,444,000 divorces. It's tragic. And the kids are the result of that, the tragedy of our empty homes with no fathers in them. There's an estimated 1.8 million solo fathers living in the world. That's that they have their children with no spouse, so it's the flip side. Children of fatherless homes are two times more likely to drop out of school. Infant mortality rates, two times higher. Teen pregnancy rates, higher in fatherless homes. Girls without present fathers are likely to be sexually active in the teenage ages and have a higher risk of pregnancy as a teen. Impact of fathers not being in the household. Adolescents from fatherless homes are more likely to commit crimes, serious crimes. They're two times more likely to commit suicide. So if you're seeing these inflated suicide rates, another reason why. This one really got my attention. I circled it and highlighted it. 43% of fathers don't consider their role to be significant in their children's personal identity. They don't see their importance of their role in the household or in the family. That means 43% of dads are wrong. They're just wrong. Their importance is so necessary. It's estimated that 24.7 million children under the age of 18 live without their bio dad. That's that bigger inflated number. 24.7 million children are living without bio dad in the household. And it's even a higher rate for African American. 57.6% have absentee fathers. Over half of them. 72.2% of Americans' population believe that fatherless homes is the biggest social problem in our country. Think of it, friends. What other statistic or what other topic can you get 72% of Americans to agree on? It just doesn't happen. We don't come together on that many things, but 72% of people believe that this is a vital problem in our country. 90% of children unhoused or in runaways are from fatherless homes. 80% of all rapists with anger are from fatherless homes. 70% of Americans that are living in state-run institutions are from fatherless homes. 90% of repeat offender teen arsons, 90% of them are from fatherless homes. It has such a huge impact on our world today as we see it. I know it's a lot of kind of a big information dump, but I think it's necessary to press on to see the state of our country and to make the point. So it's having a father involved help the future relationship with our kids. It would say that fatherless household statistics shows that children have an underdeveloped ability to build solid relationships without dad in the house. On the flip side, if dad is involved, they have a higher level of confidence, self-control, and healthy social behavior. They don't act out in school as much in their adolescent years, and they have a stronger personal, professional, and career-centric relationships in their life. Are children with engaged fathers happier? Simple answer is yes. Children that experience a nurturing and loving relationship with their father are happier, well-adjusted, social and academically successful, and more apt to become successfully independent. Are children with present fathers healthier? In fact, they're twice as likely to maintain physical fitness if dad's in the house. Just all these things just build up on one another. Good fathers can create a stable home and environment that allows their children to thrive and flourish. On the flip side, fatherless household statistics show that an absence of the father contributes to high stress levels, less ability to cope with stress, and children feeling disconnected. What's the conclusion? Let's not forget how important involved fathers are to their kids. While every situation is different, the overall fatherlessness statistics show that fathers should play their part in raising their children. Do you have a father around? Were they around when you were growing up? If so, how did that affect you? If not, how did that affect your life? If your father was always there for you, call him, talk to him, visit him, love him, hug him, and show him he is important. That's the conclusion of the article. I thought it was fantastic and very enlightening, I guess, just the amount of information that was out there. Based on the above article or statistics, dads have a very positive role in the household. Now, this is where it kind of transitions. Why? Why do dads have such a powerful role in the household? And I would say, thus says the Lord. I believe whenever we do things the way God designs them, things go better. They just go better for us. We have an enemy who is out to destroy and loves to rip apart families. He loves to destroy them, the nuclear family. And there's even attack on the nuclear family itself to see if it even exists, right? We know that from our articles in our culture. So, number three, what does the Bible say about dads in Scripture? If you Google it, you'll find that there's over 100 different verses that speak on fatherhood or marriage in the Bible. I've chosen just a few of them today to make my point. We're going to start in Ephesians chapter 6. So if you got your Bible, I think it'll be up on the screen too. Ephesians 6 is where we're going to start, verses 1 through 4. A few of you know the verses and you're already smiling. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. So before you judge me on picking this verse, we all want obedient children, right? Can I get an amen? Don't we all want obedient children? That would be fabulous. But that wasn't my point for picking that. Although we would all desire that, the word obey is not a term of submission. It's actually a term of recognition of authority. So it's saying dad is that authority figure in the family. So I got a little story I want to tell you. When I was in middle school, I was kind of a feistier child in school. Didn't really care for school much. One day at lunch, me and some other young boys were engaged in some arm wrestling matches because we were done eating. We had some time to kill, so we started arm wrestling. I kept going. I kept winning. I was doing pretty well. I guess you could say the school bully wanted to challenge me in an arm wrestling match. So I did. We had a crowd at this point. We arm wrestled, and I beat him. Well, he didn't care for that. He said, well, you might be able to beat me in arm wrestling, but if we fought, I'd whoop you. I was kind of cocky, so I kind of laughed at him, and he punched me. I didn't punch him back, but the lady, because we had a crowd, the lady in the lunchroom grabbed us both, took us to Mr. Severson's office. He was the school principal at Washington Middle School. He was kind of giving us the, you know, I'm going to do this to you. You're going to get this punishment, detention, all these other things. No big deal. I could deal with all that. Not a big problem. But then he looked at me and he said, and then I'm going to call your dad. Uh-oh. That's where I had to change my attitude because I knew what dad was going to think of this behavior going on in school by his son. See, he was the authority figure. I didn't really worry about the principal, the cops, or anything else, but I truly concerned about what dad thought. See, that's this verse. That's what it's talking about. It's this idea of a recognition of authority. And how many of them statistics we just went through would be different if we had God-honoring men in our households today, right? That whole statistic list would be different. and it'd be better for our kids. It would go well with them, just like the Bible would say. Friends, I believe this would change the world if these dads would get involved. And I know there's a lot of circumstances and situations. I'm not downplaying that. I'm just saying if we do it the way God calls us to do it, it'll go better for us and for our society and for our world. Verse 4 says, this is a prayer paraphrase, "Dads, don't drive your kids to anger or despair. Bring them up to know and love the Lord." It's a paraphrase, but you can't do that if you're not in the house. You've already brought them to anger. You've seen the statistics. You've already brought them to despair. You've already brought them to that point. If they're not in the house, they're already there, and it's not going to go well for them. There are specific occasions that does go good, but for the most part, it's not going to go well. Everyone in this room has a dad, every single one of us, but not every one of us had a father, and that's just the case. The statistics speak for themselves. Men, this world needs fathers. It needs fathers who are present, who are attentive, who are loving and caring, gentle, they're disciplining, they're devoted, and they're involved. I go out to eat not too often, but when I do, without a doubt, Culver's is usually my place I go, and there will be a family sitting there, and what's dad doing? You've all seen it. What are the kids doing? If they're old enough to have one of these, they're doing this too. If they're not old enough to have one, what are they doing? Staring around, looking at dad or mom, right? They want that interaction. They want you to be attentive. They want you to be focused. That's the idea here. We need parents, or we need dad, to be present, attentive, caring, devoted, and involved. They need to be there. Now, here's where it kind of makes a transition. That works great this side of eternity. It does. It makes you a good dad by the world's standard. But our kids need to see that there's an eternal life, right? Dads, if you have faith in Jesus Christ, you need to be teaching your kids to have faith in Jesus Christ, right? That's not my words, but that's God's. We're going to go to 1 Timothy 5:8. 1 Timothy 5:8 will be up on the screen, or if you got your Bible. I've always known this verse. It's been familiar to me, but I kind of got to dig into it a little deeper, and I was very happy I did. I kind of got to see the full context of it, and I love it. And 1 Timothy 5:8 reads, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those in his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now, I always kind of took that as an idea that we should be working, we should be providing, we should be the breadwinner of the family. That's kind of how I've always accepted that verse, but that's not what it's saying. In fact, that's taking it out of context. It's really in the context of providing or helping with widows. That's where Paul's at in this section of Scripture. He's explaining how we should care for widows and take care of widows and widowers, but then he takes it a step further. And he says, we have an obligation to our relatives, but especially those who live in our household. And I've already mentioned it. A lot of us we all have dads, but we need fathers. If you provide for your family and support them, you're in the household, you're meeting your family's needs, that's great. But that's not what this verse is ultimately talking about. We think of the world's standards. And what does the world think of a good dad, right? You got a job, you're bringing home a paycheck. You're paying the bills. You're providing stable transportation. You got a nice home and a place to live for you and your family. You're loving and you're caring. That's fantastic. Congratulations. You just qualified as a great worldly dad. That's good. I'm not downplaying that, but there's another step. Casey, what's your point? At this point, if that's where you are, thank you. But you're either the under law man or you're the natural man at this point. That's what the verse is saying. Paul is talking to Timothy and to us, and this is a reference to being the spiritual leader of the family. That's what he's calling us dads to do. If you neglect spiritual leading, you are worse than an unbeliever or, in some translations, a pagan. But that only makes sense. Fathers, your ultimate responsibility is to teach your kids and family to love and know the Lord Jesus Christ, to read Scripture with them, to teach them of the Bible, to bring them to church, to make Jesus first in your life in order to make Jesus first in their life. Think about it. No father wants their kids to suffer here on earth. Who goes out for their kids to suffer? No, we all want the best for our kids, every one of us. So why would you want your family to suffer eternally? Why would you not want to teach them the next step? If you have no desire to teach your kids the gospel, that is like saying, I don't care if my kids go to hell. That's the weight of this verse. That is what Paul is referring to. Fathers, you can't save your kids on your own. It takes the grace of God. But it's up to you and to lead your family and guide them and so they know and learn of the Lord. I think of Ezekiel 33. I'm not going to go there with us today, but I'm just going to make a reference to it. If you know Ezekiel 33, it's talking about a man up on a watchtower that's seeing danger coming, and he has the ability to either blow a trumpet and warn everyone of the danger coming or to not and allow the danger to come and watch the wrath unfold. So dads, you are the watchman for your children. You know the gospel. You know the danger ahead for your kids if they don't know the Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It is up to you, according to 1 Timothy 5:8, to blow that horn and teach your kids to love and serve the Lord. And not only by your words, but by your actions and by your deeds and everything you do. Fathers, the most loving things you can do is teach your kids to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? And it doesn't matter what your living arrangements are. You can do that from afar. You can do it in the same city, the same state, or the same country. There's an option. There's always ability to do that. Moms, this is where I bring you into the equation. If you're living with the kids, and dad is available, and he's willing, and he's safe, you need to let him in. You need to let that dad be a part of the family. Whatever, even if it's at a distance or at afar, but if it can be done and he's willing and he's able, don't hold him away. Friends, I want to close with some application and then with a testimony. So this is the last part before we go into that. We have a heavenly Father who makes himself known to all of us. Romans 1:20 makes it real clear. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So it's saying that we all know we have a heavenly Father. We all know that he's out there. It's written on our hearts. It's on full display. A little illustration from Todd Friel. I think it's great, and it paints the picture well. You can see the wonderful decorations up here. You can see all the props for VBS. If I came to you and said, you know, it took some time, some pressure, some heat, random chance and ability, and all this stuff just showed up, you'd look at me just like you're looking at me and say, Casey, you've lost your mind. That's what this verse is saying. I didn't even use this in the first service, but I should have. I mean, the creation, the universe, everything around us ourselves, was just screaming of a creator. Everything about it is saying, look at God, right? It's in us all. We all know it. Nobody is without excuse. Everyone knows there is one true God that exists. The world goes out of its way to suppress that truth and hopes to suppress the ultimate truth of a creator. That's their job. Because if you can suppress that truth, well, then you can suppress any truth, and then everything goes because there's no more, thus says the Lord. That ultimate authority is gone. And that's what God is. He is the ultimate authority. It stops at him. It doesn't go beyond that. So if he says something, it's final. That's the idea. So, dads, not everyone had a great dad. Not every one of us had even a good dad. Some of us were raised by an amazing mom, with no dad in the picture, but every single one of us has a heavenly Father. Every single one of us has our heavenly Father that loves us and cares for us and desires. Even if we directly reject him, he still loves us and he'll never forsake us, right? He knit us together in our mother's womb. He knows us intimately. He wants that relationship with each and every one of us. Fathers, if you don't know him, if that God of the universe is not real in your life, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is the day of salvation. You don't have to wait. It can happen today. You can talk to Jim. You can talk to myself. You can talk to a number of wonderful men and women in this church that would be happy to tell you about Jesus. Think about all the wonderful worldly things we have and experience as dads. We have our cars. We have our boats. Some of us are into farming. That's great. Our sports, hunting and fishing. Some of it's our careers. We just love our careers. None of them which are bad in themselves, but none of them are eternal. None of them are. But us dads, we have this very good way to impress things on our kids and goals and ideas in our children. My kids and I, we play a game. We play it pretty regularly. We do it when we're in the car. We call it the car game. We travel from different spots, whether it be just from home to Motley or wherever we're going, and my kids will be in the car, and usually Kim's not with us because I don't think she likes the game. But we drive, and my kids, they'll yell out every car that's coming towards us. They'll yell out good or bad. I've taught my kids to recognize emblems on the front of cars to know if they're good or bad. So if there's a Ford coming our way and it says F-O-R-D on it, my kids without hesitation will yell out, bad! They don't know why. They don't even know why they're yelling bad. They just know dad taught them that. I don't like working on them. So that's the power us dads have to put ideas on our children. And they'll buy into it. And they'll have fun with it. The same power is there with Scripture. The same power is there with the Bible. We have that ability, dads. We can do that. At best, we're on this planet 80, 90 years on this spinning mud ball we call Earth, right? And at the end of it all, we should be spending our time, our money, and our energy investing in things that are eternal. And that's our children. That's where we should be putting them. Because at the end of the day, they're one of the few things on earth that can actually go to heaven with us and enjoy eternity everlasting with our children, with our grandchildren. It's a wonderful thing. I have a small testimony I want to read from my friend. I was hoping he could be with us today and read it, but he wasn't able to, so he asked me to read it to you. I think it ties it all together very well. I'll read the testimony, and then I'll invite our worship team forward, and we'll close with a song and prayer. It goes like this. I was born into a military family. My father was a Marine, and my mother was in the Army. For the first 2 years of my life, both parents were always there, and everything was normal. Around the beginning of 2004, both my parents got deployed, and it led to a divorce, and me getting sent to California to live with my grandparents. My grandparents took me everywhere with them and acted as my parents. Even though my biological father was not there, I still had a grandfather to look up to. Both my parents finished deployment and ultimately retired. It was more comfortable for me to live with my grandparents. In the time that I spent growing up with my grandparents, there was always a lot of doubt and worry in the back of my mind about having a normal family and many other things. My grandparents, having a strong background in religion, led me towards the Word of God, and through Him, I've been able to find peace in knowing that I have always had a father figure in my life, no matter where I am or what is going on. By following His Word and living through Him, I've been able to calm all these doubts and worries about parents and how I have had a different family structure in my life. See, it paints that whole picture. I'll welcome up the worship team to close in song, but you can see the picture in his testimony, right? At home, young age, mom and dad in the picture. Mom and dad leave, divorce, gets that new family structure. Grandma and grandpa did a fabulous job with this young man. And then eventually he came to the recognition, I have a heavenly father. So no matter what my family situation looks like, I always have that heavenly father to help me with my doubts and my worries. It's just a beautiful picture how it all lays out. I wish he could have been here to share that with you, but he wasn't able to. Maybe someday he will. Fathers, we need you. We need you, dads. We need you to step up for your kids and for your family. You have a huge role in their life. I encourage you to do so. Happy Father's Day. Let's sing this song and close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time that we can come together corporately and open up the Word and see what you have to speak to us. Lord, we pray for the fathers in this country. We pray for the bio dads that aren't involved in their kids' life, that somehow, Lord, you could draw them to you and they could come reunited with their family and it would just change this world, Lord God, ultimately for your sake and for your glory. Lord God, move in this country. We just pray for it. We pray for stability in the families. We pray for that nuclear family and that it would quit being under attack as it has been. Lord God, we love you. We thank you for all these people as they go out today and celebrate Father's Day and whatever activities you have for them. Just be with them, guide them, keep them safe, Lord God. We love you and we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.